10 years. And I said, when did you get married?
And they said, well, there's a problem with it.
Can't put it in here.
There's a problem with that because later on when we, if, and probably we will, decide to break up, it is very expensive and takes a long time with a divorce. So they're already planning to not stay together. And what that means is that they are seeing each other as objects rather than subjects. And I'll explain what I mean by that. Objects means, let's say this camera here, or his camera, which is my camera, or the chair that we are sitting on, or this camera, which is Pranana's camera, which hasn't been paid for yet.
No, it's mine.
It's yours now, good. So that's an object. And what happens with an object? When the object gets old, we just trade it in for a new object. And if we want another object to gratify our senses, we get another one. Just like Prananath Prabhu was telling me about this really cool device that he's using to hold his GoPro camera. And I thought, I want to get one of those too. So this is the life. So then, therefore, last night I went on eBay. Some of you may know what eBay is. And I was looking at the prices for one. Haven't gotten it yet. So that's what an object is. An object is something you use to satisfy yourself. Of course, the objects that we have in Krishna consciousness, we are using to satisfy Krishna, but they're still objects. You don't really have a relationship with your camera, I hope. And you don't really have a relationship with your chair. And you don't really have a relationship with your glasses. You know, you replace them when they don't work anymore, or they're updated, or with your iPhone or something like that. You just replace the thing. You don't get sentimental about the whole thing. But a subject means that there is a person, and not only a person, but a person whom you consider to be just as important or more important than yourself. That's what a relationship is. As we hear in the case of Vasudev Dutt, who is, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada describe, compassion personified, basically. That he was willing to stay in this material world to suffer endless births and deaths in order that other personalities, other people in this world could go back to home, back to God. In other words, he was willing to take their karma on his head. Now, of course, we cannot imitate his exalted position. Still, at the same time, we can learn something from him. And that is the selfless service, compassion, and care for someone else. So spiritual marriage basically means that. It means the causeless compassion, care, sacrifice, loyalty, all those different things, and I can think of another 10 words, for someone else. Making a vow to be like that. Why do we have to take a vow? You know, people ask, why marriage? You know, I love you, you love me, Hare Krishna. Because vows are important because we are not all, or many of us, or practically none of us, are on the highest platform of devotional service where we're fixed in our determination. But it's not even the highest platform. One of the intermediate platforms is called Nishta. Nishta means steadiness. So when you're steady, when you're fixed, then you don't have to make a promise, I'm going to chant 16 rounds a day, I'm going to rise early, I'm going to do this, because it happens automatically, you're fixed in your devotional service. You're on the platform of Raganuga. But most of us are not on the platform of Raganuga. We're on the platform of Vaidhi. Vaidhi means you got these rules and regulations, and whether you feel like it or not, you understand this is my duty. That's Vaidhi. So marriage is the same thing. It's like Vaidhi Bhakti. Everyone understands the point? Vaidhi Bhakti. That sometimes you may feel like it. Sometimes you may feel like arguing with your wife or husband. Sometimes you may feel like whatever. Arguing, screaming, whatever. Or not serving the other person. But you understand it's your duty. A.K.A. Kurunandana, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Vyavasayat Megaha Buddhirekeha Gurunandana. That those who are actually on this path of devotional service are one pointed and their determination is one. So one who is actually a human being, even if they're not on a very high platform of Raganuga Bhakti or spontaneous compassion, when they make a promise, they stick to their promise. And that's what a vow is. That's what this marriage is. I mean, if you take away all the external formalities and the jewelry and the, you know, the seven steps and all the other stuff we're going to be doing today, the essence is a promise. Even the fire sacrifice and everything, the essence is a promise. Of course, the fire sacrifice is the promise before Vishnu was manifest in the fire. And of course, today we're making a promise in front of Giriraj. I mean, this is very serious here. When you make a promise in front of Giriraj, Krishna will make sure that promise is fulfilled one way or the other. You cannot break it. Just like that devotee, they were visiting Vrindavan, and the older Brahmana made a promise to a younger Brahmana to get his daughter married to the younger Brahmana in front of the deity of Gopal. And so the younger Brahmana had to make Gopal walk all the way across India in order to make sure that the older Brahmana's promise was fulfilled. So when you make a promise in front of the deity, in front of Giriraj, in front of the Vaishnavas, this is a very serious promise. Or when you make any promise, even if it's not directly in front of Giriraj, Krishna is in your heart. The deity is in your heart. I mean, if we're going to be more than Kanishta Adhikaris, we have to understand Krishna is everywhere. And Krishna is everyone's heart. So all promises are meant to be kept, regardless of the circumstances. That's the intelligence platform. Regardless of what the mind, the emotions, whatever other, let's say, pushings or pullings are coming, that intelligence tells us, do the right thing. Keep your promise. So the promise these devotees are making today is to basically stay together. That's the first thing. In happiness and distress, in pleasure and pain, in summer and winter seasons, just like Bhagavad Gita, Matra Sparshas Dukanti Asitiyosna Shukha Dugada, Agama Payana Dishdash, Tamcha Tikshasha Bharata, happiness, distress, summer and winter, heat and cold, and all those other things. To stay with each other, but not only to stay with each other, but also to turn off the mobile phones during marriages. Hare Krishna. To stay with each other and to think of each other first before you think of yourself. And not only to think of each other in a sentimental, material way, but to think of each other in terms of what's called the shreyas, the ultimate benefit of the other person. That's why it's very important to be Krishna conscious. I mean, otherwise it could be very sentimental. You know, you think of each other in a mushy-gushy way. You know, just like sentimental, here's a heart, here's Valentine's Day, chocolates. What else do they do here? Anyway, whatever. So that's just sentimental. But it's important to be Krishna conscious oneself so that one knows how to think of the other person in a compassionate Krishna conscious way. So that one knows what to do to help the other person to achieve their ultimate goal. So one knows what to do to help the other person achieve ultimate happiness, unlimited happiness. And that's really the duty of each of you. To first of all, be Krishna conscious yourself, and you know what that means in terms of rules and regulations and everything like that. And therefore, be able to practically guide and help the other person come to the Krishna conscious platform. So in other words, each of you are the other person's guru. That's true. I mean, you know, obviously I'm your spiritual master and Srila Prabhupada's your grand spiritual master, and Prabhupada is more kind than me because the grand spiritual master is more kind than the actual spiritual master, and Prabhupada is infinitely more kind to me than me in any case because Prabhupada's on a different platform. But the point is you should look at each other as guides. Not simply that the husband is the big cheese in the family, or the big pakora, or the big whatever, you know, the boss. Like sometimes you find in this chauvinistic conception that the man looks at the woman just like a peon, you know, like postal peon or, you know, whatever. A very insignificant person that's meant to serve him and serve his senses. But actually the husband should take guidance from the wife and the wife should take guidance from the husband. And it's a spiritual partnership, not a one-sided affair. So you work together for the ultimate goal of helping each other come closer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna and reach the perfectional stage of life, Krishna Prema. This way, your marriage is really an eternal marriage. You know, people talk about eternal love. But the love in this world can never be eternal. But the love in a Krishna-conscious marriage or a Krishna-conscious friendship or relationship between guru and disciple can go on forever. No, it's not just in this world, just like I am a disciple of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. So my love for Him and my service to Him will continue eternally. In fact, when I'm at Giriraj, you know, the main prayer I make to Giriraj is, please let me serve Prabhupada life after life. I'm not praying so much to Giriraj, let me become a gopi, or let me do this, let me do that. I'm praying, let me serve Prabhupada and His mission life after life. And then whatever Prabhupada wants, or wherever Prabhupada wants me to go, I will do that. You know, Prabhupada wants me to serve here, I'll serve here, wherever. So that relationship goes on, life after life. And that's the most satisfying thing, that loyalty, that dedication. And in marriage, we should think in a very similar way. That life after life, you should be serving each other in Krishna consciousness. And of course, if you are completely Krishna conscious, then at the end of this life, you both will be joined again in the spiritual realm. Maybe not as husband and wife. You may be two gopis, you may be two cows, you may be two whatever, two monkeys, I don't know. What can I say? You know, whatever. But you'll be serving Radha and Krishna eternally. Isn't that nice? And everybody in Goloka Vrindavan in the spiritual world is serving the conjugal loving affairs of Radha and Krishna. Whether it is the monkeys, the cows, the coward boys, the other gopis, or whatever. They're always serving Radha and Krishna. So you'll be serving Radha and Krishna together. Like Prabhupada actually said this. So some people think I'm just concocting this. But Prabhupada said, we have an ISKCON here in this material world, and also in the spiritual world, we will all be there together serving Krishna. Very wonderful. And Prabhupada jokingly said, this was in Bombay, that everyone will go there except for Mr. Nair. Now, Mr. Nair was the person who was trying to cheat us in Bombay by selling us the property and then taking it back and keeping our money. And eventually he left his body, and we were able to get the property in Bombay, which is now where our Juhu temple is. So Prabhupada indicated that we do have an ISKCON in the spiritual world. And those who actually serve Prabhupada and serve together will be together in the spiritual world in different forms, as I mentioned before. So this is what I mean by eternal love. And this is, to me, this is the most romantic statement. And I'm a sannyasi, I'm not supposed to be romantic. But this is the most romantic statement or thought that I can have, that I will be with all of you, you will be together, even Mayapur will be there. That's amazing. So and we'll all be together joining hands and serving Radha and Krishna. Isn't that wonderful? And all you got to do is serve each other in Krishna consciousness to go back to home, back to Godhead. And carry out what Prabhupada considered to be the most essential aspect of grahastha life. One person asked Prabhupada the question, what is the relationship between man and wife? And of course, everybody knows why they were asking that question. But Prabhupada responded in a different way than the person asking the question intended. Prabhupada said, in household life, before you eat, you should cry out like three or four times, if anyone's hungry, please let them come eat. So what that means, that household life is the ideal preaching platform for Krishna consciousness. In other words, you can be inviting people into your home and cultivating people in Krishna consciousness, which is actually much more effective in many instances than having a big temple. Just like we were talking to someone today about a big temple somewhere. I'm not going to mention who I was talking to. I'm looking at him. But I was talking to someone about the big temple, and he was saying, well, Maharaj, can you please give us $200,000 or $300,000 to get this big temple? He was saying, can you find someone to loan us the money? And I said to him, that's not really what makes devotees. Sometimes you have a big temple and less devotees are made. What makes devotees is loving relationships. And the householder devotees are ideally situated to extend loving relationships by inviting people over for prasadam and hosting people, cultivating people, and having a nice, warm, loving relationship between both of you that actually is transmitted to whoever you come in contact with. That's the secret to making devotees. It's not a very hard thing. I was just reading something about relationships in general, that people very much remember first impressions. As they say, first impressions are lasting impressions. In other words, when you first meet someone, if they're smiling, if they're loving, you probably remember that forever. But when you first meet someone, if they're scowling, the husband and wife are arguing with each other, you don't want anything to do with them, and you don't want anything to do with whatever religion they're following. So it's very important to have that loving relationship between each other and to extend that to others and bring people to Krishna consciousness. That's what Prabhupada expected from our householders. Not simply, you know, that you tie some tin cans behind your car, your Maruti or Suzuki or whatever type of car you have, and drive off into the sunset on your luna de miel. That's Spanish for moon of honey or honeymoon. But you actually bring people to Krishna consciousness. Just like when I performed the marriage for Champaka and Maipur Chandra, I took Maipur Chandra on his honeymoon. He came with me on his honeymoon for preaching Krishna consciousness. I won't tell the rest of that story. But in any case, we serve Krishna, serve each other, we love each other, we try to love all living entities, bringing everyone into this loving network of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then we go back to Godhead, if Srila Prabhupada and Krishna desire. Okay, and that's the purpose of marriage. So we'll continue with the fire sacrifice and marriage ceremony. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.